All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Boca Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Holritz. It is good to have you here today. Happy Friday to those of you that may be live streaming with us. We've got a really great show ahead of us, actually. I've been telling Jill, who produces our show, and I actually mentioned this to the guests before we got started. I'm like, I've been excited about this. We've got some guests, some brand new guests on the show today who are going to bring a lot of energy and really interesting information. And so without further ado, I actually want to go ahead and introduce Aaron and Emily from E-Squared Photography. Thank you guys so much for making time to do the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome. We're super, super excited about this.
Well, and I said this to you, I actually, when as I was preparing for our conversation today, I was looking back at Instagram, and I think back in 2021, maybe even, I had sent you all a quick message, and I was like, I just love your energy. Like, you guys have this really great vibe between the two of you and what you're actually taking to social media that I just love. I think there's something to be said about actually bringing really great energy that actually, it doesn't look canned, it doesn't look faked, it's not forced. You genuinely enjoy what you're doing, and you're kind of translating that through the content that you're sharing. And I think that's really great, and it made me that much more excited about our conversation today.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. We've been told that we're just kind of, we're real and raw rather than very like making everything look perfect. So that's kind of what we're about, and we're glad it works out.
That's the way to go. Well, and I just want to kind of jump in because we actually have a lot of material to cover. For those of you that may not have seen the title, we're going to be talking about 8 steps to booking more clients today. And so there's a lot of detailed conversation to be had, but I normally like to start the show with a few kind of rapid fire introductory questions. And so we're going to start with that. And the first has to do with customer experience. And especially in 2023, as we look at technology, the way that the photography industry continues to change, and frankly, how much easier it is to take a really great picture. While good photography certainly makes a big difference in the service that we can offer our clients, it's not necessarily the thing that sets us apart from the next photographer who can also buy a camera that takes a really great picture. Customer experience is, I think, really at the heart of building an effective and healthy business. So to that end, I'm curious to hear from you all what one of the most important principles has been behind providing a great customer experience for your clients.
Yeah, so I would say totally agree with what you just said. The biggest thing for us that we've really felt that has worked out for us from the start is just building trust with our potential clients and our current clients, but especially those potential clients that are following along, maybe on the edge of wanting to book with us, but having that trust with them, showing up online, showing them who we are, so they know who they're getting into, so they can invite us into their home or invite us to a session, and they already feel like they know us. So that is so incredibly important to us when providing a great experience, is that they already know who we are.
And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that in detail when we get into those 8 steps that I alluded to, but how do you go about creating content in a way? I mean, I know, and I can speak from personal experience too, it's easy when the camera goes on, you're getting ready to create a reel or whatever it might be, to, even if it's subconscious, kind of shift into a different mode, right? Where we're kind of portraying a version of ourselves, but is it really the natural version of ourselves? We talk about how Instagram and social media in general, like it's the filtered version of ourselves a lot of times. How do you avoid doing that? How do you make sure that what you're actually bringing to your content is an accurate reflection of who you are so that when they do meet you, it's the same thing?
Right. So we will share real life stuff. Erin will share pictures or videos of her little boy being wild and crazy, acting out, how things just aren't normal. But yeah, we're purposefully sharing, not just like those, like it goes along to like to the perfect Instagram feed or, you know, you know what I mean? Everyone wants that perfect feed. We're not so much into that because we want people to see who the raw, real us is.
I think sharing those boring moments that you think is boring, but can be very relatable to other people is a huge way to help get them to know you and build trust and build that rapport. So when you are at a session, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. I guess that kind of makes sense. Well, I know we're going to get into that in a little bit more detail in just a little bit. So we'll come back to that. Yeah. I want to get on to the next question, though, and that has to do with time management. It's really easy to get caught up in all the busy work, all the moving parts associated with running a photography business, and to allow that to kind of detract, whether conscious or subconscious, to detract from just having a life in general, right? There's a lot more to life than just being behind a computer or behind a camera. So I'm curious if there's a principle that has enabled either one of you or both of you to be able to more effectively manage your time so you still have some of that freedom, that flexibility that I think we, a lot of us, get into business for in the first place.
Yes, exactly. And some days you catch yourself and you're like, this is way too much. I'm doing way too much. I don't like it. And that's part of it. But you have times like that. But something that I think we can probably both agree on, that we are very type A people, Enneagram 3 type A people. So if you can relate to that, that is us to a T. So batching out content is so important to us, whether it's batching out our emails or our social media. I would say probably 80% of our social media is batched out by the month, by the week, whatever it might be, because we find that saves us so much time in the long run.
And we spend so much time just automating things as much as we possibly can within our workflow. So we're always thinking about ways that we can be more efficient and try to answer those questions our clients especially have before they even come to us.
Okay, so batching and then automation. So with batching, how do you do that? Do you block off sections of your calendar and dedicate those sections to particular tasks? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, so typically Monday mornings, first thing Monday morning, I am in the Facebook Business Suite and I'm going through and I'm batching out our content for the week, especially when it comes to, we create YouTube videos and stuff like that too. When we do those, we are batching those out all within the same amount of time. It's not this week we're doing one next week. It's like 10 at a time, just because that's kind of how we are as people and just how we roll, but it works really well and it really helps save us time.
It's so easy to get distracted. Like to all those moving parts that we have to deal with, and then of course, all the notifications from social media and email and everything else coming in constantly, it's easy to just to kind of jump from one thing to the next. And we don't end up, and again, I speak from personal experience, we don't end up getting a lot of focused work done on one particular thing. And it detracts not only from the quality of that, but then ultimately getting that particular thing done more efficiently as a result. So I think this is a really great recommendation and reminder for all of our listeners. The other thing you talked about is automation. Excuse me. And I think this has become a lot more commonplace in the last, say, 3 or 4 years, where photographers are actually leveraging software that is either free or relatively inexpensive that enables them to automate a lot of their workflow. Can you give a couple of examples of how you're going about doing that?
Yeah, so I mean, and something that we would recommend to like anybody just starting too is using the simple feature on Gmail to schedule your emails to send. And so like batching out emails that you are going to eventually send, but schedule all of them out. That's something we do at the end of our workflow. Otherwise, we are automating emails. So as soon as somebody books on our website, they're going to get an email back. So when we talk about automation, it's a lot of like email automation back and forth. So.
Yeah, the scheduling feature. So you're scheduling those emails from Gmail to go out at a particular time. Is that what you're referring to?
Right. So for example, we've edited the images, we've uploaded them to the gallery, and now we have a series of emails that will go to our clients. And so instead of saying, okay, tomorrow I need to send that one, and in 1 week I want to send that one to remind them, we're scheduling those right away all at the same time.
Got it. And are you using a CRM in addition to that email workflow as well?
Yeah, we use Dubsado.
Okay. So I know that Dubsado and some of the other CRMs have some of that automation capability built in with communication and emails. Have you found that Gmail works a little bit more effectively than what Dubsado has set up?
No, we use Dubsado, I would say, for the majority of it.
Okay.
But I guess we haven't really thought it through on how it would work using Dubsado with that aspect. So we use both, but the free version would be use Gmail. We use a little bit of both.
And I love Gmail, by the way. I use it myself. Of course, for anybody listening who doesn't know, you can also set up your business email address in there. You can just use a Gmail account. I also use a plugin called Boomerang. Have you heard of that before?
No.
So Boomerang is great because before Gmail built in the ability to schedule certain emails or emails to go out at a particular time, Boomerang had that functionality. It was a plugin for Chrome and for Gmail.
Okay.
And they had that functionality. But the other thing that I use actually all the time is something that enables me to pop that email back into my inbox if somebody doesn't respond in a particular time. I'm keeping up with so many different things and with the multiple companies and so forth that I know that if I send a particular email, I need to get a response back from that in a given amount of time. But I may not remember that I sent that because I'm also trying to keep up with so many other things. So I can actually have that email boomerang back into my inbox if that person hasn't responded, say, by the next morning or the next afternoon or in 4 hours or whatever the thing I might decide or the time frame I might decide is important for that. And I can use it in that way. It's been a really, really cool little tool.
Well, oh, it can easily slip your mind otherwise. So
yeah, it's our. I'm already like, emails that I sent yesterday, I'm already thinking how that could be really beneficial. Is that a free thing or is it paid monthly?
They may have a free introductory kind of functionality, but I think I pay something like $10 a month for it. And it is.
Okay.
I mean, I can't tell you the probably hundred, even thousands of times at this point that I've used that particular function. And it just is so, so helpful. So yeah, I highly recommend it for anybody who's using Gmail. Oh, yeah. It's a really great tool.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
So, let me kind of transition to the next question, though, and this is one of my favorites to ask, which is a favorite self-help book or business book. And I'd love to maybe hear from both of you on this one. Like, do you each have kind of a favorite, a go-to, a recommendation for our audience?
No, we're identical twins. Everything's the same. We definitely both have one. I would say that my favorite self-help book, and probably honestly one of the very first ones that I've ever read, was probably right after I had my first baby, but it was Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And I feel like it just, I mean, it shifted the way I think about mornings in general, but just setting up your day for success. So I think that and the steps that he provided in there, just, it really changed the way I thought about things, and I'm still sticking to it. So
wow. Okay. So yeah. I haven't read that book before. I'm going to have to, we'll link to that in the show notes for anybody listening in, bocapodcast.com. Yeah. We'll put this in the show notes. Okay. That's great. Miracle Morning. And what's the other one?
Mine is The One Thing. Have you heard of that book before?
No, I don't think I have.
The One Thing. It's by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. I was going to bring the book to show you, but basically that is really good for people that have, like you had talked about before, people that have a hard time with like notifications and this happening, and then they think about this and they need to do this.
Yeah.
Where if they just focused on one thing at a time, one goal at a time, one task at a time, and checked that off and then moved on to the next thing. And that really helped change the way I format my days with everything to really focus on one thing at a time and what's important in that time rather than 10 different things at one time.
And how do you,
so that's huge.
How do you go about doing that? Because I know kind of the default for a lot of people is to, for example, leave notifications on for social media or email. That in and of itself could be a massive distraction from whatever we're working on in the moment. Do you leave notifications off or how do you manage that?
Yeah, I have no notifications on my phone. The only notification is like, gosh, what is it? Like Uber or something. And I need to turn it off, but like it keeps popping up and
mine's
it's like the only
Domino's.
One. Yours is Domino. Yeah. So no, I turn them all off and I would highly suggest that to anybody because I don't even get a notification. Like if I have like a Facebook message or a Instagram DM or an email, any of that, it saves me so much time not having that on because if you think about how many times you pick up that cell phone to check for them, you're going to open it up and want to check them. So turning them all off is, I mean, that's huge for me.
It really is. And it's just not a commonplace practice. And I don't know, what do you think? Is it a sense of FOMO that people have or, well, it seems like that might be the kind of the driving factor, maybe the subconscious enjoyment of just like the distraction because I get to go do something else besides what I'm working on. I don't know what the motivation might be. What do you think?
I kind of agree with you that, or maybe they just haven't, they don't think it's a problem maybe in their life, but it was definitely a problem in mine.
Yeah.
But then you'll see, then you'll see people's phones that have like 200 unread emails and that like right there just, whoo, can't do that.
There was a quote from Tim Ferriss, and I don't remember it word for word, but roughly. Tim Ferriss, by the way, wrote books like The 4-Hour Work Week and The 4-Hour Chef and some others. But he talked about how email is everyone else's idea for your schedule or everyone else's determination for your schedule, something to that effect. And that really is like we let other people decide how we're spending our time by leaving those notifications on. I'm still really kind of amazed at the way that email is managed a lot of times by business owners because they'll leave that on, and then they're also using email kind of as instant messenger. So we've got the notifications constantly pinging, buzzing as we get new emails. We're constantly going to look at those. It distracts us from whatever we're doing. It's highly inefficient where we're jumping back and forth from one task to the next. And then we quickly go in and respond to that thing, and then we get pinged back because the other person's using email the same way. So now it just becomes an instant messenger application.
Yeah,
and it really takes away from an efficient workflow. So I'm glad that you highlight the importance of leaving those notifications off. Can't recommend it enough for everybody listening. And by the way, I do the same thing. No email notifications, no buzzing. Same thing on my computer as well. I leave social media notifications on, but behind the scenes. So if I'm going to look to see if somebody's messaged me, I have to actually manually go check it. I'm not constantly getting it on the front of my phone. So it's not as distracting that way. And yeah, I think that's just the way to go. One last question here for you, and kind of switching gears a little bit. As photographers, I'm curious to hear what your favorite piece of camera gear is. Both of you, please.
Okay, I'll go first. So, love this question. We have a lot that we love, but we're super excited. We just bought, we're natural light photographers for the most part, but we just bought the Godox 8400 strobes. And because we do senior photos, so we're super, super excited to do some like dramatic sports lighting with them. We've been asked to do it quite a bit with our seniors. So we just bought those, and we're actually after this going to the local swimming pool and going to be practicing some fun swimming shots. So, so excited about that.
No way. So underwater shots or just around the pool or what kind of?
Just around the pool. Just around the pool. Gosh, there's a couple guys that we follow on social media. Rocktown Media is one.
Okay.
And I don't remember who the other one is. Can't remember his Instagram name, but super good with dramatic lighting. So we're looking at their stuff, trying to, you know, use some of their ideas that they're doing and incorporate it in our seniors. We're so excited. And we're going to do basketball tomorrow.
And the Godox brand, for anybody who's listening and doesn't know, is in comparison to kind of the mainstream brands like Canon, Nikon, Sony, that their flashes are so affordable. It's kind of mind-blowing at times, like how inexpensive some of their gear is. For these particular strobes, why the 8400s versus anything else? What made you choose this particular type?
Well, I think we've just been recommended them quite a bit. Mm. And we thought, okay, maybe 200s, maybe 600s, but we were recommended those. So we're...
And a huge part of it was being that it's affordable, because
yes.
If anybody is like the cheapest photographer out there, like we try to get by with the most minimal gear, and being that we're together and we work together, we share a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do both have our own camera bodies, so that's a plus, but we are pretty cheap when it comes to that.
Oh yeah.
But the thing is there, it's great gear, right? I mean, it is inexpensive, but what you get for that. Is. The last wedding that I photographed, I was using, I believe it was Godox, actually. There are one or two brands out there that are kind of similar as far as price point. And Godox is certainly one of those. It's affordable, has plenty of functionality built into it that largely mirrors the mainstream options, but is, you know, like a quarter of the cost. It's really, really incredible.
And so far, we found that it's super easy to use.
Oh, please go ahead.
Well, yeah, just to go off of Aaron, like, flash scares so many people. Off-camera flash stuff scares so many people. It still scares us. I mean, we're new to it, but using those are so easy. It's weird how easy they are.
Yeah.
We'll make sure to link to them in the show notes for anybody listening who's curious, wants to go find and kind of learn a little bit more about them. And by the way, we do things a little bit backwards here at the podcast. I don't normally jump into kind of a traditional or formal introduction of our guests a lot of times. So I want to go ahead and pull up your website now. We didn't do this at the outset. For anybody who's listening in, if you go to esquaredphotography.com, just like it sounds, and then esquared.photography on Instagram, make sure to follow Emily and Aaron and check out their work there. And of course, we'll link to all of this in the show notes at bokehpodcast.com. I want to go ahead and jump into kind of the main conversation at hand here. We're going to be talking about the 8 steps to booking more clients. You all did me a massive favor. This doesn't normally happen for me when I have guests on the show. You actually sent me some notes ahead of time. So we're gonna use those as a frame of reference and just kind of walk through each of these. And I want to kind of get your take on them. So there are 8 steps, or 8 C's more specifically. And the first is that you mentioned is communication. And I'd love for you to give a bit of context to our listeners, Emily or Aaron or both of you, about this idea of communication. It seems like an obvious one, but I'm not sure if we're always paying close enough attention to this particular step. So I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so we're talking about trying to book more clients. That's the ultimate goal. So obviously communication seems obvious, but what we're talking about is communication with your current clients and your potential clients. So obviously your potential clients, because you want to book them. But if you don't have good communication with your current clients, you're not going to have word of mouth spread good about you. So when it comes to communicating clearly with our current clients, they know throughout the entire process, they know what our prices are, when their images are going to be delivered. They know what our prices are for prints and all of that kind of stuff. We're communicating that super, super clearly throughout the entire workflow, the entire process with them, and often. So they're not going to see our print packages just once. They're going to see it multiple times. We're putting it in front of their face. And really our goal there is to prevent having to communicate with them back and forth way too much. So we're trying to think, okay, what are all of these questions or problems that they're going to come up with? How can we answer those before they even become a thing? And then if you have that great communication with those current clients, then those current clients are going to talk to your potential clients, and they are then going to know, okay, they're really good at communicating. But with your potential clients, one thing that we focus on is on social, where are your potential clients going to find you? They're going to find you on social media or on your website. And we want to make it so clear on our website and social media what we do, what we offer, how much we are, where we're located. I don't know how many profiles I have come to, not just photography related, but just profiles in general, where you don't know where they're located. Like I'll look up a restaurant or a hair salon and it doesn't say their location. And I'm like, whoo, just list your location. So communicating clearly with location, what your prices are. We like to communicate our prices. That we shoot seniors and families. All of that is super clear to our potential clients so they feel comfortable booking us because they know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And I have to give you props because you mentioned profile. And in fact, I'm going to pull this up to show everybody because this needs to be highlighted. Another thing that a lot of photographers don't do, not only not putting their location in their profile, but they don't put their names in their Instagram profile. Yeah. The number of times that I've had to go digging around on photographers' websites, including, by the way, guests that I'm having on the show, to go find who this person is that is wanting to be on the podcast, it's kind of amazing. And when we're, as much as photographers talk about the importance of relationships and getting to connect with our clients, the fact that they don't have their name on their profile, this place where probably many, if not most of their clients are going to connect with them most often, even more so than the website, is just incredible to me. So every once in a while in my stories, I'm like, PSA for photographers, put your name in your Instagram profile. They need to know not only where you are, but who they're talking to as well.
Yes, yeah. Very, very smart.
And one thing that we expect from our clients is that they can also tell us apart. So they know which one's Aaron and which one's Emily.
Brilliant.
Which nobody can, but it's okay.
Well,
we thought about putting it on our fanny packs.
Yeah. Oh, you sport fanny packs. Is this a tool that we all need to know about?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're very thankful that the 90s is like coming back and making its comeback because so are fanny packs and we couldn't be more thrilled because I think we had them before it was cool.
We had leather ones. Well, and we lose our lens cap all the time and Erin loses her phone in the middle of field. So like we need, they're really essential for us.
Super handy for sure. Okay, but as you were talking about communication, the phrase that came to mind, you're talking about outlining all of these details as it relates to working with your business, is the idea of proactive expectations management, right? If a client is left asking questions, then we've already done a kind of a disservice or we've hurt the experience that we're giving them as a brand. The fact that you're thinking about this proactively upfront, providing this information that you know that they're going to want to ask questions about, I think is so, so important. The other thing that you mentioned in that outline and the point about communication is the importance of responding quickly. But I'm curious, especially after hearing your take on notifications, like how do you manage responding quickly or balance responding quickly with also not allowing that to kind of overrun your life and business?
Right. So twice a day, I'll check the emails morning, right before I go pick up the kids from school. So those are the times. That's when I'm talking, respond quickly. I don't mean within minutes or whatever. I mean, look, if I'm on there, great, I'll respond. But we are not going to wait over 24 hours before we respond to someone. So that's really important to us because we want them to know right off the bat that we are going to, what am I trying to look for? We're going to get back to them as soon as we possibly can. Yeah. But then we also want them to know in the same sense that, hey, maybe they'll email me at like 9 a.m. and I already checked emails at 8 a.m. They might not hear back from me till later. So just, I don't know. Quick response time quick response time is really important to us, but not within minutes, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, just clients knowing that we're going to actually get, or seeing that we're going to get back with them in a relatively quick time. I know it's, despite all the tools that we have, it's very easy to kind of let that get away from us in this process of communication. So yeah, a good reminder for sure for all of us. But let me go ahead and jump to the next point that you make, which is the importance of confidence. And, you know, this is an interesting point because there's a conversation or a series of conversations that are happening quite a bit in the photography industry that center around some level of insecurity. You know, whether it's this idea that I'm not good enough as a photographer, yeah, my skill set, or maybe I'm an introvert, so I'm uncomfortable meeting or connecting with people that I don't know. But it seems to be a more constant and ever-present theme in our industry in the last few years. I'm not sure exactly, maybe you have a take on where that's coming from, but what is the significance of confidence as we interact with our clients?
Yeah, so I mean, when it comes to confidence, you see it all over. And I think social media in some aspect has done this to us. And it's really easy as photographers. We were caught doing it. We sometimes are still caught doing it where you're in the comparison game. And I feel like that's where then confidence gets just completely defeated. But we do feel in order to get those clients that you want and to book more sessions that confidence is super important. But it's going to make you look a little bit more professional. Sometimes, you know what, when you get to a session, you might have to fake it until you make it a little bit in certain aspects. Maybe you're just not in the mood to be there. Well, you might have to fake that you are. Or maybe you're unsure about some sort of lighting situation that's going on, and you might have to fake it just a little bit to help show your confidence and let that shine through. But I would say, honestly, one of the big things that helped build our confidence and that we really try and encourage other photographers to do to help build their confidence when trying to book more is work on practicing and building your portfolio. And one big way that you can do that is by offering free sessions. That might be to families, to friends. Try to figure out who your ideal clients are. Yeah. Reach out to them. Yeah. And do your best to, I mean, it isn't fun to have to offer free sessions, but slowly it's going to help you boost your confidence.
Yeah. What's the phrase that is used quite a bit when it comes to feeling like we're not good enough? I, for whatever reason, this always slips my mind.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah. What is it?
We actually just talked about it. Imposter syndrome that we just talked about recently on the podcast, actually.
Yeah.
And one of the, if we look at the idea or kind of the more literal definition behind imposter syndrome, it's the idea that I'm faking it, or maybe even more specifically that I'm selling something that I can't actually offer, that I'm selling something that I don't really have. Where is the balance between that kind of the idea of faking it till you're making it, which you alluded to, and just go ahead and putting the work in behind the scenes so that there's really little reason for us to feel that sense of imposter syndrome when we're interacting with our clients?
Right. I mean, we can't stress enough like the importance of, you know, being committed to your business and putting the time in. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, hopefully. But practice is so huge. If you're not booking, that could potentially, unfortunately, be a reason why is that you're just not out there trying to practice enough, get more content to post the content. There's a lot of different reasons why. But yeah, it is kind of it's a hard line, especially when you're first starting out in photography. And when there are so many photographers out there that you start comparing yourself to.
Yeah, I think I think that, I mean, we're lucky in that we have, of course, digital cameras have been around for a long time. We have the ability to actually put that time, that work into practicing, into preparing, so that we can walk into a situation a little bit more confidently. But I've just, I've been very interested and curious about where that sense of imposter syndrome comes from for a lot of photographers. Is that something that you've ever kind of struggled with yourself in one form or another? What has that been like for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we first started out, the biggest thing, one of the biggest things for us that we found out pretty quickly is on social media, we needed to unfollow local photographers. And the reason we did that is because we started to get jealous that their images looked this way, but we couldn't figure out how to get that pop in our image. And that was just really hard on us. And I think it's hard on a lot of photographers. We've shared a few times with on our YouTube channel or whatever, some of our beginning work to our work now, just to help people understand, like, you will make this transition. Yes, it takes work and time, but you will make that transition. And it's okay to feel that way now, but try to prevent feeling that way by unfollowing some people. We like to follow people outside of our area that inspire us and you know, get us excited about photography, rather than people that are so much more local that we catch ourselves getting jealous of. Not so much anymore, but definitely when we first started out, that was really tough on us.
Yeah.
So we start with communication, the importance of communication. We move into that idea of confidence. And then the next point that you make is the importance of consistency. And this is a fascinating topic. We could probably spend a whole podcast episode just talking about the importance of consistency as business owners. But what are you referring to in the context of this conversation about booking more clients?
So not just with consistency, not just like consistency from client to client, or a consistent amount that you're charging your client so it's all consistent in there. That's important. That's good. But the biggest thing for us consistency-wise that I think helped us take off from when we first started was we were consistent online. So we told ourselves when we first started, I think we said 4 times a week, we will post something on social media. Even in our off season, when we're not shooting, we will repost old images and we will try to get people engaged in our, on our photography pages, because we felt that that is so, so important to be consistent. So people can see, hey, this is what we expect from them. They're really active. They're really excited about what they're doing. And an example that I can think of with this is let's say you are looking for a local hairstylist and you're searching hairstylists in your area or whatever. And you get to a page and you're like, oh my gosh, their work looks so good. Awesome. And then you look and you're like, oh, the last post they made was February 2021. I don't think maybe they're not even open anymore. Let me go find someone else. So staying consistent in that way, I think builds trust and really helps your clients know what to expect and get excited that you're excited as well.
Yeah. And when it comes to consistency and the look and feel of the images, something we talk about quite a bit here on the podcast is the idea of brand position. And part of having a clear and distinct brand position is matching what we say with what we do. And that may seem like an obvious thing, but a lot of times photographers might say, I'm a photojournalistic wedding photographer. And then they've got all these stylized images that look like they were, you know, shot for Vogue. It doesn't match up. So when you think about consistency, are you also going to that extent, thinking about the style of images that you're posting, making sure that it's consistent across social media, your website, and so forth?
Yes. So we are primarily family senior photographers. Do we dabble in doing other things for people? Maybe some headshots here and there, or we just did a maternity session. We're not posting those because that's not what we want to attract. Yes, we'll do them here and there for people, but we want to consistently, we want people to know that we do family sessions. A lot of times our family sessions are in a field, so they know what to expect there. We do senior sessions. Our senior sessions are bright and unique and exciting and really personalized to who the seniors are. They know what to expect in that sense as well. So that's what we're posting and choosing to post.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Now, I just clicked a button and got rid of my screen, and now I've disappeared. So I'm going to try to figure out how we can get back in. Let's see if I can do this right.
All right, I will be hosting we did the show now.
Okay, perfect. There's what I mentioned this from time to time, but what nobody sees is, as much as it just looks like a simple conversation between the three of us, there's a whole control panel behind the scene that I'm looking at right here with like 68,000 different buttons that I have to push and monitoring volumes. And every once in a while, I hit the wrong button. I'm like, oh, shoot, what do I do now? So, no, we're good to go. We're good to go. One other quick question for you. When we talk about consistency and experience, you mentioned earlier that kind of proactive thought process behind managing your clients' expectations. I think that's where it starts. But in order to deliver a consistent experience, it takes taking a step back from the workflow and outlining it for ourselves so that we're clear for ourselves, first of all, what it is that we're going to do time after time after time. And then we can deliver a more consistent experience to our clients as well. Is that kind of the approach that you took?
Oh, yeah. So like every single off season when we stop shooting, it's usually in November, we sit down and we write out every step of the process from when the client books to when the client gets their prints. And we are talking about, okay, what needs to be sent, what needs to be communicated. And it changes every year and we get new ideas. So, but really mapping that out so things are consistent and, again, saves us time. In doing that. So that's huge for us too.
That's great. Well, I bring that up at least in part because I know one of my weaknesses in years past as an entrepreneur has been not planning ahead of time in enough detail. I've got a general idea of a concept in my head, but when it comes to actually implementing that thing, if we've not actually taken the time to list out the steps and think through the whole process in detail, it can be not only detrimental for us as business owners, but then again, for the end client experience as well. So I'm glad that you highlight something as important as that. But then we go to number four, which is the importance of collaboration or the collaborative effort. Will you talk to us a little bit about that?
So when it comes to being collaborative and trying to book more sessions, we're thinking about we're doing this together. We're alongside the client. So the client isn't demanding and telling us everything that they want and we're following everything to a T. And we're not doing the same. We're not telling them this is how it's going to be. This is what you're going to wear. This is where it's going to, you know, be shot. We're not telling them. We're trying to work alongside of them as much as possible. So when it comes to being collaborative, we're trying to think about things like their schedule, asking them tons of questions prior to even doing the session about what they're envisioning, what are their interests, a little bit about them. We like to get to know our clients. Yeah. So then when we do show up, we have more to talk about and more to incorporate into their session to make it a little bit more unique and creative to them. As a family or as a senior. So that's kind of what we talk about when we're being collaborative. So for example, for like our seniors, do you want to talk about like...
Yeah, so like this past summer, we did a senior session. Well, with all of our seniors, we try to do this. We really try to find at least one thing that they're super interested in or unique to them and incorporate that in their session. And the reason we do that is because they're going to love those pictures looking back on them because it's something that's important to them during that time. But it's also going to make them feel super, super comfortable and relaxed. I know like with a lot of our senior guys, we end usually at like the football field or whatever. If they're a football, they all of a sudden like, they just relax. Like they're just relieved to be in their element. So trying to incorporate those, like this last summer, we had a boy who was obsessed with his Jeep and loved guitar. And we're like, okay, perfect. Let's do something where we can incorporate the two of those together. Mm-hmm. We had a boy one time who was interested in Transformers and we knew nothing about Transformers, but we're like, please bring them along and we're going to figure out a way to incorporate them. They loved those pictures. Those are the ones they printed. So always trying to collaborate with them to make the session more special for them and show that off on social media. So our potential clients look and they're like, oh yeah, they're willing to let me bring my dog to the session or they're excited about this, or they'll probably let me go do pictures in the outdoor swimming pool. Great. You know, whatever it might be.
We just don't like, we don't allow 1 to 2 year old kids because they're really challenging. So other than that, we allow everyone to come.
Fair enough. Okay. But what's the balance though, between that this idea of collaboration with a client for the sake of their vision, but then also maintaining, you know, a lot of photographers talk about the importance of their art and their craft and their vision and what it is that they're bringing to the table. And in some cases, it gets a little bit on the negative side, even where they're like, no, the client's going to do what I think is best. I tend to lean to the side of it's about serving the client and taking care of the client where they are. But what do you think the healthy balance is there, at least from your perspective?
Yeah, so we are obviously here to serve the client, but we want to do it in a way that they're actually going to appreciate and like the image in the end. So if they're requesting some location where we're like, okay, yeah, but it's not going to work there. Like it really isn't. We will educate them ahead of time. Like, this is what we're looking for when it comes to lighting, especially when they're choosing their own locations. You're going to like it if we shoot at this time of day. It's going to be much more appealing on your face in the end, and you're going to be in love with the images. And so we try to educate on those little pieces ahead of time to prevent those issues from happening and having a client who is not pleased with their images when in reality we're really just trying to serve them. So yeah, there are little ways, like with lighting and little tips and tricks that we try to educate them on the way to avoid having things like that happen. So
well, the moment that you start talking about how they're going to look so much better if ... I think most clients will buy in. They're like, oh yeah, okay, sign me up. I'll do what you're suggesting. I know that there's always exceptions, but when we're talking about serving someone else, taking care of somebody else, adding value to their life, if we're thinking about how this benefits them and we're able to communicate how this particular action or this particular scene or this particular approach, this technique benefits them, we can speak to their needs and their desires, it's a lot easier sell at that point. And so I think keeping that front of mind is really, really important.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay. Well, we're going to keep moving. I mean, this has been super practical and straightforward. I want to jump to number five, which is commitment. And there are a couple of points here, and I'll just go ahead and mention these, and I would love for you to give context. So commitment to learning and growing to become better, and then commitment to timeline and client. Will you comment on both of these? These are pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, so they're both commitment, but they're very different. Right. There's a lot of ways you can look at commitment. But when we think about commitment, really it is, in general, it's the overall commitment to your business. If you want to book more sessions, if you want to grow your business, you have to be committed to doing that in all aspects of your business. Mm. It doesn't have to take over your life, but you really have to be committed to it. You have to be committed to getting online and posting on social media and people seeing your face. There's so many things that you can think about that you need to put effort into. One thing that we feel is extremely important and has helped us continue to grow, we absolutely love the images we produce right now, but could they be better? Yes. Yeah. So education for us.
By the way, I didn't say so important. I agree that your images need to be better. just to be clear, I like the thought process. I'm totally vibing with what you're saying. So please continue. Please continue.
Yeah. So you're the troll on all of our pictures when you're telling us how bad they are.
No, no, in all seriousness, and our regular listeners know this about me, but one of my values is growth. So when I'm reading, when I'm reading the importance that you're suggesting of learning and growing to become better, this is something that I just hold very dear to my heart, and I actively live it out both in my personal life and my professional life as well. So I'm very much relating to what you're saying, and that's why I said, yeah, just to be clear for everybody listening.
Yes, yes. So, education is so important to us. So when we're, especially in our off season, we are on podcasts like this one, which is absolutely wonderful, has taught us so much, by the way. And we're not just saying that because we're on it, but we've been listening to this podcast since we've started. But we're on YouTube. Like these last couple of weeks, we've been on YouTube trying to figure out how do you use these Godox lights that we just bought.
Yeah.
And now what are we going to do? We're going to go practice. So we've set times in our schedule where we're going to make this education happen, whether it's a class or a training. But this is something, there's not another option for us. Yeah. It has to take place. We want to grow. And really, like for us right now, because we're kind of established here, we book up very quickly with our sessions. But at the same time, there's still that little bit of fear inside of us. Like, what if we don't book? What is something we can do? Oh, we can start to offer these unique sports portraits for for high school kids or whatever it might be. So pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone has been really, really important in continuing to know and be confident that we'll keep booking throughout our journey or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But education is so big.
And I would say to even add to that too, like if you really, going back to commitment, if you really want to be committed to your work and to improving and into growing, it comes accountability and holding yourself accountable. And so something that we really do try and do is, you know, a couple of weeks ago we said, okay, we have to pick a date to do these swimming pictures and to actually practice.
Yeah.
We won't, otherwise we will not do it. Like, so we have to put it on our calendar even to go out and practice. So
that's so
that's
cool.
Something that we do. Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for that. I think that's really great. And it's a great example for all of our listeners too, that we actually make that time. Again, if we're constantly in a reactive state because we don't have the systems in place to help us with automation and ultimately running our businesses more efficiently, we're naturally not going to have the space for even taking the time to think like this, much less actually doing anything about it. I love that you're intentionally right. scheduling time to get better. And you're, let's say you're 7 or 8 years into business at this point. Is that right?
Yeah.
A lot of photographers at that years. Point, they're just going to be like, I'm it's good enough. It's good enough. I'll make it work and, you know, continue on. And this is something I've seen in the industry in years past, having been in it now for a while, is some people will kind of, they get comfortable where they're at. And they even think that this way that they've been doing things for all this time is the way to continue to do it. And they're not looking for opportunities, not only to get better, but also just to be aware of how the world and the industry and the marketplace is changing and adjusting with it. If we don't do that, we're going to get eaten alive as business owners at the end of the day. So it's really important to maintain this mindset. And I have a lot of respect for the fact that you all are making that a priority. I think it's a great example for all of our listeners. Going on to number six, though, and this is, I'm very curious about this. The idea of convincing or being convincing. Tell us more about that.
So I guess convincing your clients to book with you. You know, we all want to book. We want to book up. But how do you convince them without being like...
Your potential clients.
Yeah, your potential clients without being overwhelming, I guess, is, you know, think about those clients that are kind of on the fence. Maybe they follow you. Maybe they've heard about you, but they're just not sure if they want to spend the money to book a session with you yet. How can you convince them to actually follow through and click that link?
Let me just interrupt you for a second. I said we weren't going to interrupt each other. But when it comes to new photographers, a lot of new photographers that we hear from, their first question to us when booking more sessions is, have you tried Facebook ads? That is one of the first questions we hear. And really, no, we've never tried Facebook ads when it comes to trying to book sessions or get clients. It's not a bad thing to do. I don't think it's wrong to do. But there's so many ways that you can get those potential clients on board without having to pay for ads. So
yeah. And so really we're trying to build FOMO is what we're really trying to do convince our clients that they want to come with us. And so we attempt to do just little things, on our Instagram, especially Instagram stories. So during a session, we are trying to get some behind the scenes of what it would be like to be at a session with us, or, we're trying to focus on those like fun moments during a session where maybe the little kids were having them run under a blanket and playing a game at a family session, or were competing with the the senior football star and like kicking to see how far we can kick or who can kick for, like, we're trying to show them that it's just fun. It's a fun thing to be around. Like, you want to be here. Come on, like, you know, book a session with us. So anything that we can think of that's being unique, whether it's we're, you know, giving a gift to our seniors at the end of a session or our families, we're getting that on our Instagram story so people can be let in on those fun secrets that will give them FOMO in the end, hopefully. So we're trying to be convincing in that way.
And does that sense of FOMO, does that lead to more bookings via something like social media or more so via referrals? Or is it still kind of a combination of both? Where do you see that coming from?
I would say a lot of it's referrals at this point, but I do think it's a little bit of both. And, you know, like speaking of social media and booking and things like that, something we do at the end of our workflow when we're done working with a client is we always ask if they're willing to do a review or a testimonial for us. And that's another way to be convincing to others, you know, is that if you get a good one that you really like, share that testimonial or share that review. Because again, that can be another way of people really wanting to join in on the fun. So, yeah.
Well, the idea of FOMO, I think when it comes to building a brand, that is, I mean, that so much of building a brand is just about that. Like if you don't buy this product or you don't experience this particular service, you're missing out. And yet I don't think I've heard a whole lot of photographers talk about it in that way. So again, I appreciate this perspective, and it's actually a really good one for me too. The other thing that you pointed out that's interesting is, and we've been seeing this even lately as we're getting ready to launch a new company, is that we can still leverage, despite how busy and crowded and how much these social media channels have changed over the years, if we are intentional and strategic in the way that we approach using these platforms, we can still, through organic reach, whether it's actual individual outreach, we're sending DMs to friends, family, or clients, or just through that, through those various channels, the exposure that we can get to our friends and family, if we are intentional, strategic, creative, and I know we're going to talk about creativity here in just a second, we can still leverage these platforms on an organic level to be able to get not only a good amount of business, but even is more than we could even handle at times if we do it really, really well. Is there something that you're doing, speaking of growth earlier, is there something that you're doing to continue to learn how to leverage these platforms as they continue to change more proactively for the sake of business?
I would say podcasts. We listen to a lot of podcasts to help us. We follow a lot of good accounts too that help give us ideas, but I think it's just something that too, at the same time, podcasts have been really good. And helping give us good ideas and stuff. But I think it just kind of came very natural to us from the get-go. Erin also is a technology coach for the school district. So she also does the social media page for the school district so that we live in. So I think it's just, it's almost kind of come natural to us. And
I too think like getting to know like, what's new in your clients' lives? Like, what's cool right now? What's in? What are the hot topics? Those are kind of things that you can be talking about. You can try to engage via your captions or your Instagram stories or polls. You know, anything like that is going to get people kind of coming to you. So,
yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about this quite a bit, and it has for years. Are you all familiar with Gary? Do you follow him at all?
Yeah, we follow him.
Yeah, I know there are kind of mixed opinions about him, but one of the things that I think he's added to just the marketplace at large that's been extremely valuable is the importance of the consistency in the message about how really at the end of the day, marketing and building a business, so much of it is about attention. What are people paying attention to? Where are they paying attention? And as much time as we spend on these various social media platforms, scrolling sometimes aimlessly or kind of pointlessly, if we even gave like a fraction of that time to scrolling more intentionally for the sake of developing awareness, as you're pointing out, Erin, that we understand our clients better, how they're spending their time, what they're interested in, what they're talking about, how they're talking about those things. I think that's a really important use of our time. Even if we're just spending a few minutes a day doing that, it's important that we do that. And again, a good reminder for me, I have done this kind of on and off over time. And just to be super transparent, I get a bit cynical because I'm like, oh, I've just seen the same. It's just the same thing all the time. But I think if I was a little bit more intentional and a little bit more strategic about what it is that I'm trying to learn from that content, I'd probably get a lot more value from it. So it's a good reminder. I'm committing on air. I'm going to go back to doing this in a little bit of different approach, more strategically, more intentionally. But I think it's a good reminder for all of us. That's really great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and one other thing, this is just really kind of goes along with this, but like what Erin said almost, but we will follow accounts that are just talking seniors here because we primarily do seniors, but we're going to follow accounts that they follow. So we're following, you know, the American Eagle, we're following Hailey Bieber, we're following all of those people that these kids are obsessed with right now, because it's going to give us ideas as far as maybe lighting, posing. It's going to give us ideas of what they could wear. So much it can give us ideas for.
Jill and I talk about this, Jill, who produces the podcast, Jill and I talk about this from time to time about how it's important that we either use these platforms that we're not necessarily, well, actually, we talk about specifically in the context of the platforms that we're spending time on, like being on these platforms that, frankly, neither of us would probably spend a whole lot of time on if we weren't running these various companies. Right. It's important regardless. It doesn't really matter what we are interested in. The whole point is that we need to be paying attention to what other people are interested in or using the platforms where these people's attention are. That's the whole point, is we have to think about the end client and where their attention is. And that's where we need to be spending time paying more attention as well. So again, really great reminder. And I'm definitely committing to doing a better job of that. I want to jump to number seven, the seventh step or key idea here, which is the importance of creativity. And I'm very curious to hear where you go with this, because I know in a sea of thousands and thousands and thousands of photographers, it's hard to be creative, to do something that's unique. And in fact, a lot of photographers tend to kind of copy and paste what their favorite photographer or their peers are doing in their marketplace. How do you actually go about truly being creative, truly doing something that's unique in your marketplace?
Yeah. So when we were thinking about creative, we were thinking more so, I mean, you can be creative in every aspect of your photography, as far as marketing, your images, your lighting, whatever it might be. But for us, when we were thinking of this, we were thinking of how can we make our images stand out from other photographers in a creative way? And so this kind of goes back to getting to know our clients and bringing they're really doing the hard work for us. They're helping us be creative by providing us with these different props that they might want to bring to their session. Or like, for example, this past summer, we had a family who's like, yeah, we're not really into the field, long dress look, high heels, whatever. And we're like, no, you're not, but you are one of the biggest basketball families in this town. So how about we go to this local park, you guys put on some basketball gear, and we take pictures of you guys scrimmaging against each other. Some of our favorite pictures that we did. So using your client's interests to help you get creative, that really has helped us. When we have a session, like a senior session, a senior will fill out her questionnaire, let's say, and she says she wants a field in downtown, and that's all she says. We're like, oh, okay. Well, that's boring for us, so we need to figure out a way we could make this more creative. So every single session, there is something we can do to make it stand out. Because when we go to post those sneak peeks on social media, we want people to be like, oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like that. How cool is that cool Jeep with the guitar, with him jumping off the Jeep, or whatever it might be? That is our goal, is to stand, have every image we post be more of a wow than like, oh, she's standing in a field again with the sun glowing pretty, which we love those pictures.
Yeah,
those are those too.
We post those a lot. We love those, but we want that like wow factor as much as we can get it.
And I think just like thinking about creativity and, you know, if you're trying to book more sessions, I think, yeah, your images can be creative, but thinking about how can you be creative in the way that you post your social media content, the way that you show things, the way that you deliver, you know, your emails, like how can you just be a little bit more creative than the photographer next door? I think that's going to immediately set you apart because people are always drawn to creativity.
But it seems, I like the way that you're talking about leveraging the, we'll call it for the sake of conversation, the personality of your client, the things that they're interested in, that they spend time doing, that kind of, that's your canvas, if you will, that you're utilizing for the sake of creativity. You're starting that place. Because I know as a photographer, and I photographed weddings for a little over 10 years, I wasn't the most creative individual in the world. I was a little bit more structured and kind of prone to workflow and these types of things, the administrative side of running a business.
Yeah.
So the idea of being creative, as in creating something or taking a picture that's actually different from, you know, all these hundreds and thousands of images that I've already seen, it was a bit of a challenge for me, to say the least. So is there something that you do to make sure that you're actually kind of pushing your boundaries, like it, not staying inside that box of the world that you're used to, the photographs that you've already taken, beyond just simply having the conversation with a client about their interests?
Well, we get so darn bored. Like, we get bored with the same dress and the same field and the same like, we are always trying to, like, force ourselves. Like, okay, we have a session tonight. Like, what's one way we can do something different? A different pose that we've never tried before. Maybe it's a different location we're going to bring them to. Maybe it's a flop and a fail, but we tried. And then always trying to find out what the senior or what the family is interested in, and if we can somehow bring that into our session, because then we don't get so bored. So we like absolutely love trying new things. We did a wakeboarder last summer, a boy who built his own boat, tons of things. We like those little unique things. So if we can dig them out of them in a questionnaire, we will get those out of them.
Yeah. And that's we cool. are, believe it or not, we are very much like you were saying you are. We both used to be science teachers. So we're very analytical, math, science, like not like necessarily, like I don't know that I'd consider myself very creative, but one thing that I think has helped us is it is so easy as a photographer to screenshot all of these cool basketball poses and then go and replicate them exactly how they are. But one thing that we've tried to push ourselves to do is not do that so much and just go into a basketball part of a session and just try to let our mind kind of flow as much as we possibly can without having to pull out a phone and try to replicate everything. And that challenging ourselves to do that, I think, helps lead to those more creative shots. It's harder to do, but it helps lead to those more creative shots too.
It is, but I like the way that you framed this. Like you said, we're bored or we get bored easily. So how can we not be bored? I really like that approach actually, because now it just kind of forces you to think different. It may be a little bit crazy, a little bit outside the box. Maybe something doesn't even work because it's so far outside the box, but at least you're not bored anymore. And what you end up with is a few extra creative images. You've had more fun. The client's experience is that much more fun because of it. It's kind of a win-win scenario. Again, a really great perspective and kind of a different perspective that I haven't heard before from photographers. So this is good. We're going to get to the last point here in just a second, but there are a bunch of you that are live streaming with us today. So don't be shy. Comment, join in, ask questions here as we're getting ready to finish up. Patrick just said, flowy dress in a high grass field at golden hour. Repeat. Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I love those high grass golden hour sessions as well. I used to, in addition to photographing weddings, of course, a lot of engagement sessions. And that was one of my favorite things. But it really is so easy to go where we're comfortable and not go to a scenario where, you know, it takes a little bit of effort, creative effort on our part, maybe a little bit more physical effort too. But in order to not only minimize boredom for the sake of the client, but for ourselves, I just really love that take on it. So I want to encourage everybody to really take that to heart. Jumping to
do the senior picture with Transformers. Like we never thought we would have Transformers in a senior picture, but we did and we had fun with it.
Okay, well, good. For those of you that are photographing seniors, you just heard some good advice. All right, let's jump to the last number eight step, client experience. And I think it's kind of cool that we literally started with this today and we're going to end with it as well. Please share your thoughts on the importance, the significance of client experience, if you will.
Yeah, so I would say everything, basically every point we've made so far all goes back to your client experience, but I do feel that client experience is the most important thing. And you hear this over and over now, which is great, but you hear that we could be competing against a photographer that their images are 10 times better. They would win a judging competition over us, let's say, but our client experience is 10 times better. That is so much more important to kids nowadays, to families nowadays, to everybody. The experience 100%. Is way important. So we feel if you can deliver that A+ experience, you are going to naturally start booking more. Yep. And if you're showing off that client experience, you're going to book more. And so I would say a challenge for those listening is a homework assignment, I guess I could say, that we would challenge you to do that we've done is look at every part of your client's experience from when they Google search photographer for whatever they're looking for to when they finish with you, when maybe you are delivering them their prints or whatever it might be. Write down every single step and then look at every step and think, okay, as a client, what would maybe my pain points be during these steps? And how can us as photographers, how can we provide an exceptional experience along the entire way to stand out to them and help them, help solve their problems, make it really enjoyable and really fun? Yeah. So I think that's just a good way to get you started on trying to be creative and how you can provide that awesome experience.
Well, I think that's a good recommendation in general, too. When it comes to our workflow, As in the workflow that we carry out in our office day to day. It's our workflow for image management or editing if we're doing our own editing, or if you're outsourcing editing, how you go about that process, the way that we approach photographing sessions, every little bit of it. These are all things that we do on a regular basis. It's easy to kind of fall into the trap of just going into robot mode and just automatically going through them. It's good to take some time to reassess on a regular basis what it is that we're doing and if that's really the best possible thing that we can be doing, not only for our business, but more specifically for the sake of the client experience as well. So that's a really great recommendation. How often do you all do that, or do you recommend doing it?
We do it. We usually do it. We're so like done with
that's
everything.
Yeah.
So we finish our last session of our busy season. And in the next week we are meeting, we're planning for the next year. Like we're doing all these things. So then when we do have Christmas time or whatever it is, mm-hmm. we can actually chill. We don't have to think about those things. So that's really, I guess that's really important to us, just giving ourselves time back. And, but yeah, we do it once a year.
Yeah.
Which again is, it's good. It's very easy to go into that autopilot mode. So for everybody listening in, I know we've kind of alluded to this idea now multiple times in this conversation, but take Aaron and Emily's recommendations to heart, which is to make time, whether it's at the end of the year or maybe two or three times a year, even to reassess what it is that you're doing for the sake of refinement. And in this case, of course, for the sake of client experience. This is good. I thank you all so much. I mean, this has been, it's not only kind of straightforward and practical, which I love for the sake of an easier listening experience that our listeners can take this information, go apply it. But there's been some really key ideas in here that I haven't really heard from any other photographers. I love your creative perspective on all of this. And I really appreciate you sharing today. Is for those listening in who are curious to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, and I don't know if they might be able to send you DMs and ask questions or what the best way to go about this is, but how can they at least find and follow you online and continue to follow what you're doing, learn a little bit more about what you're doing?
Yeah, so our website is just esquaredphotography.com, and then you can find us on TikTok, which we post some fun reels on there, or what are they called? TikToks. They're called TikToks. Wow. Okay. Blonde moment. That was really bad. But you can find us on TikTok or Instagram. Just search E-Squared Photography and we'll pop up. And then on YouTube as well. We have a YouTube channel where we're putting out YouTube videos too for new photographers to check out as well.
Perfect. Well, we'll link to, of course, all of this in the show notes at bokapodcast.com. I really appreciate you all making time to share with us today. This has truly been like just a wonderfully valuable conversation. I appreciate everybody who joined us for the live stream today. And for those of you that are listening to the audio after the fact, don't be shy. Come join us. If you follow us at Boca Podcast on Instagram, you can keep up to date with the upcoming live stream schedule. Thanks again, Aaron and Emily. Really appreciate you making time for all of us today.
Yes, thanks so much.